Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Right now, switch your family to T-Mobile and get four lines for $25 a line with AutoPay and 5G access included on America's largest 5G network. So don't wait. Get unlimited and nationwide 5G access for the whole family for just $25 a line. Visit a T-Mobile store or T-Mobile.com today.
Plus taxes and fees. Customers may notice lower speeds and further reduction if using over 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video at 480p. Unlimited while on our network. Qualifying credit and full plus lines required. Capable device required for 5G. Coverage not available in some areas. Some uses may require certain features. See T-Mobile.com.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal. A safe way for your customers to pay. Whether you're a market seller.
I'll take two tomatoes and a cucumber.
Poodle pamperer. Piano tuner. Or plumber. Signing up to accept touch-free payments for your business is easy. Simply download the PayPal app and display your own unique QR code for your customers to scan. Touch-free QR code payments. No seller fees until 2021. Not applicable to PayPal Here transactions. Other fees may apply. Shop safe with PayPal.
Hey, this is Jill from The Container Store.
Oh.
Is there something wrong?
I just thought a virtual designer would be a cool robot.
I could do a robot voice if that helps.
Maybe.
Hi, I am Jill. Let's design.
Nope, absolutely not. Regular voice, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not good at impressions.
Enjoy free virtual in-home closet design and up to 25% off closet systems with The Container Store's custom closet sale. The Container Store, where space comes from.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. UFC, politics, President Trump, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you name it, we talk about it. And right now on the show today, we have a very special guest. And I want to start by introducing my co-host and producer, TJ DeSantis. TJ, hope you've been well this week. You're not the special guest.
When Frankie Edgar is on the line, just skip over me, man. Come on. We got the answer.
All right. There we go. We do have the answer to the show. We do have the answer to what we need to make the show popular. And it's called Frankie, the answer Edgar, the UFC champion in my mind all the time. Frankie, how are you, babe? You good?
I love hearing you say my name, Bruce. Come on. I'm doing good, my man.
I had a lot of fun roaring your name to 60 people in the arena the other night.
Yeah, right.
Millions watching on TV. I'm trying to make it seem like there's 20,000 all the time.
And no, you do. You do. You do a tremendous job.
I appreciate it, Frankie. I appreciate it. Listen, you've had more wars than I can remember in three different divisions that very few fighters have ever had a chance to enter the octagon and say that they've accomplished in their lifetime. And you went up against an absolute monster in the number five ranked bantamweight in Pedro Munhoz. Frankie, that was a back and forth Pier 6 skilled MMA brawl. And, you know, people say on the edge, Munhoz, Frankie, you did a great job. You won that fight. It was awesome. Awesome.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a hell of a fight, man. Pedro brought it. You know, I knew I was going to bring it. And, you know, you get two special guys in there that you can make some magic sometimes. And yeah, we definitely did that on Saturday. It was awesome to get my hand raised, and you know, we're looking to the future now.
Yeah, you know, and Frankie, your career is spanned so many years, three divisions, championships, the whole nine yards. And you yourself said you've got many more years to come. You certainly shined like that last Saturday night. You're number eight ranked in the featherweight division. I'm sure you're ranked now in the bantamweight division. Have they given you a ranking?
I think I'm number five right now. Yeah, yeah.
Number five, which would that by my guesstimate. TJ, back me up on this. Frankie, you too. I would say one more fight and you got a shot at the championship.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining if that's how it works out. That's for sure. You know, I do feel like, you know, I'm always close to it based on what I've done. And, you know, I just beat a very, very good opponent in Pedro. And I think another big win will definitely get me there.
Yeah, I think so too. Most definitely. Now, your next fight planned, listen, number eight featherweight, ranked in the bantamweight. Let's call it number five, as you said. Where's the next fight? Featherweight, Bantamweight. Lightweight. Where are you going?
No, I'm going to stick with bantamweight for now. You know, I just got my feet wet on Saturday. You know, I really think I could do, you know, do some damage here and, you know, kind of, you know, see what holds, man. If I can get a title at bantamweight, that would be amazing.
Exactly. No, I could see that.
Hey, you know, real quick, Bruce, if you don't mind, let me jump in.
Yeah, sure, go.
When I look at where you've competed throughout your career, Frankie, I mean, former lightweight champion, you fought at 45, now 35. Where do you think your prime self would have fit at 35? Do you think you could have been a 35-pound champion 10 years ago?
I think I could be a 35-pound champion now. So
sure.
Yeah, I imagine I think I could be a 35-pound champion 10 years ago. But, you know, I really do – like the fact that I didn't go down. You know, I was able, I had a goal to win that lightweight title. I did that. People were telling me to go back down back then, and I refused to do that. Then I went down to 45, came very, very close to holding that title as well. And, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, it's not always about size and how much weight you can cut and put back on the next day. It's about skill and heart and determination. And, you know, that's what I try to prove every time I'm out there.
I still think in the Aldo fight, had it been a 7-round fight, you would have swept it from, I think, the fourth round on. I mean, you started to really take over in that fight. And this win on Saturday, now that I, you know, kind of look at your career, you know, one step back, like, to me, you're on the pound-for-pound greatest of all time list. And not a lot of people can say that, especially at this point in their career. And like you said, you know, I'm saying, oh, could you have been the champion 10 years ago? You may very well be the next UFC bantamweight champion. That's got to feel good. What does this do for your motivation and momentum at this point in your career? Because I think a lot of people sort of get, you know, burnt out at times, but you seem as motivated as ever.
More so.
Yeah, you know, especially this the buzz that I got right now. You know, back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. You know what
there
I mean?
You go. So,
you know, it just feels good, and it definitely reinvigorates you. I'm excited for the future. You know, I know a lot of people are kind of down how I was going to be at 35, and I was able to show them that, you know, I'm a mainstay at whatever weight class I choose to be.
There's no question about that, Frankie. You've been in the UFC octagon now for 13 years, since UFC 67, your very first fight. God knows how many fights you had before that. Again, finishing with the Monster Munoz. Having all these choices in your life, looking incredible. I got to say, you know, Ricardo Almeida is one of my favorite jiu-jitsu artists of all time. One of my favorite coaches and a great guy. I was announcing him back in the Abu Dhabi Submission Wrestling Championships back in 97 or 98. You've got incredible jiu-jitsu. Your change-ups in that fight, taking him down, standing up. And still to this day, I will go on record as saying that of the few MMA fighters that I think could stand in a boxing match, you're definitely one of them. And I understand too that when you box, no, I've said it before.
Yeah.
I don't know if you still do, Frankie, but I understand when you train boxing for your MMA fights, you actually go to a boxing gym, or you've been going to boxing. You train with real boxers.
Yeah, like when I'm boxing, I want to box with some, you know, real professionals in their art. So, you know, that's where you go. That's the best guys you could spar as far as boxing goes. So that's who I seek out.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, and it shows every time you walk in the octagon. Again, the change ups. You're a freestyle fighter. That means you're free to do what you want. So do it.
Exactly.
Even more so than mixed martial artists, I think, in a certain way. So I thought there's a hurricane hitting the East Coast. You look like you're in sunny Southern California here.
Yeah, no, I think we're good here in Jersey. I think that's more down south, I think, in the Caribbean. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, I think it's in the Gulf. It's in the Gulf.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Luckily, we'll miss that.
Well, that sounds good to me, most definitely. Hey, Frankie, hey. When you come to Vegas, I'm sorry, TJ.
No, go ahead.
I go to Vegas. I get there on Friday. I get tested. I have to take quarantine for 24 hours. With the new safety and protocol in place, as a main event fighter, I don't know if there's a difference between the undercard fighters. When do you have to get into Vegas to get tested, quarantine, so you can train and acclimate yourself?
Yeah, we have to report on Tuesday. I got out there Sunday, kind of stayed at a different hotel. You know, got you know, into the groove of fight week. Then Tuesday, I reported to the host hotel. That's when they tested us, and we quarantined for the 24 hours, made sure we got the negative test before we kind of went out and about and started, you know, going about fight week.
Right. And are you back home? I know Jersey's been a hot spot, and we're all still going through a stage one process here. Are you saying the quarantine safety protocol at home, you know, maintaining yourself?
Yeah, you know, I'm home. You know, I figured I got tested 5 times when I was out in Vegas, so I'm probably pretty good. But, yeah, no, you know, I'm pretty much been hanging home in my backyard for the most part anyway the past couple months. So I'm just kind of back doing my normal routine.
Very, very cool. Go ahead, TJ.
I was just going to say, going back to the fight with Pedro, that was a fight I think that would have felt a lot different for, I think, you guys if there was a crowd involved. And sometimes when there's a crowd involved and there's a fan favorite, that fan favorite kind of has their decision solidified a little bit more because, you know, you get cheered a little bit more. I think you would have been that guy on Saturday night, being the big name and hot commodity that you are, Frankie. But when the judges' scorecards were read, you know, 49-46 for Munoz and then 48-47 twice for yourself, that is a strange sort of diversity in scorecards. You know, 49-46, 4-1 for one judge. Were you worried at all when you heard that first scorecard read 4-1 against you?
I mean, not, you know, you're always worried because you never know. I've definitely been in some fights where I thought I won 4-1 and I still lost. So,
right.
Of course, you're worried no matter what. But in that moment, I just try to stay positive. You know, I don't know. I don't want any negativeness going through my mind. So I kept saying, that's me. Let's go. I don't know what I was mouthing something to myself. And I'm like, it's got to be me, and we got it done. So I don't pay attention. Obviously, these judges definitely flip-flop quite a bit. You know, you see a lot of crazy scores in these past couple months. But, you know, I just got to do what I got to do, and hopefully they'd make it right.
Did you know how entertaining the fight was from an outsider standpoint? Because you don't have the affirmation of the fans inside the Apex, but that was honestly one of the better fights I think we've seen in a little while.
Upper fight of the year.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's tough to tell. You know, a lot of times when you're out there gunslinging, they all seem pretty crazy, and then you watch it later, and you're like, it really wasn't that much of a, you know, slugfest. But this fight, you know, I definitely got the affirmation from the fans on social media, and you know, you, my coaches, and people that were at the show.
All right. Well, listen, I want to tell you something now, Frankie. Now, when I get in the octagon with the decision, and don't ever look at me over at the judge's desk because I might be rolling my eyes at times. But when I get in the octagon and people say, Buff standing behind that guy, he lost. Oh, he fist bumped that guy, he's going to lose. He just said the first score in a split decision, he's going to lose. There is no methodology, Frankie. I have to tell you. I can't stand behind the right fighter or the left fighter all the time because then there would be a system. I can't stand behind the fighter who won or lost all the time because, again, there would be a system. I'm trying to mix it up as best I can. And my job is to be the messenger and build the drama. So if that drama caused you a little agita, I'm sorry, okay?
Hey, it's all good. That's all good. So you don't want to mess up any prop bets. You can't tell them what you're going to do, right?
Yeah, well, they're not bets I make because I don't bet. I just announce. So I bet.
Frankie brings up something interesting. I'm surprised there isn't like a prop bet on you, Bruce. Like, you know, how many spins during one introduction can a man get in?
Definitely should.
There should be, but there have been. The main prop bet I've seen is bow tie or tie. And then,
really?
Yeah, and there'll be like max $50 on the bet. And I'll get emails. People ask me if I'm going to wear a bow tie or tie. Like, I'm going to tell you, you know?
You tell me, color, right? We're buddies. Yeah. I mean, 10% finder's fee.
Go ahead and get your $50, Frankie.
There you go. Thank you.
Sometimes I don't decide till that night, so I could change up also. You know, color a jacket. Will I do a 360? Yeah, there's been some pretty funny prop bets, but I'm the friggin' announcer. Come on, don't bet on me. You bet on these Warriors. You know,
yeah, that's actually a good segue.
That's the show.
Yeah. Frankie was one of the first mixed martial artists to actually do the whole suit and tie at the press conferences a long time ago. What inspired you to do that? Because Frankie, you were doing that at a time where people were wearing tinfoil shirts to the pressers, and here you are all decked to the nines.
You know, I remember George was doing it, I think, at the time. And I was a big Derek Jeter guy. He's a super classy dude. I thought, you know, let's just bring some class to this and be somewhat professional. I don't know if I've done a press conference in a while. I mean, no one has, obviously, but last couple ones, even like the fight days, I would get it dressed up for him. But I've been a little kind of like a little more lackadaisical. It's comfy clothes. But if they come back for a big press, you may have to pull out something nice.
When you're a legend, you can wear comfy clothes. It's all right.
Yeah.
You can wear all the comfy clothes you want, Frankie. Nobody's going to say a word. Speaking of comfy, okay, you just went through 6-8, whatever weeks of training, 5-round octagon war. First question, how's your foot? I saw you getting out of the octagon. You were limping quite a bit.
Yeah, my leg was a little jacked up, but I'm good. I went for a bike ride with my daughter today. You know, a little hitch in the step, but nothing too crazy. Definitely back to feeling pretty good.
All right, so you can get out there and do some dirty dancing this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Let's make sure that
social distancing, though.
Yeah, of course. Well, except with his wife.
All right.
Before I forget, will you please make sure you give my best to your mom, your dad, the whole family?
Yes, of course. They always love you. They always make sure they say. Yeah.
Thank you. Great, great, great family. I love your family.
Thank you.
What do you do, Frankie? Vacation? I mean, what does Frankie do to say, hey, I got to like relax? Is it just happy to be home and not train? What is it?
Yeah, well, you know, my kids have sports a little bit, so you got to, you know, adjust stuff around that. But I'm sure we'll go, me and my wife, maybe the kids go somewhere, especially with school being remote learning. We could probably take them in September, you know, check out some stuff, and they can remote learn over the computer there.
Exactly. When do you want to go back to work again, Frankie?
I think before the year's out, before Christmas would be ideal.
Have they talked to you at all? You don't have to take this information, but if you...
I just spoke with my manager, Ali, about, you know, wanting to get in there in December, and, you know, he's got some ideas, and I'm sure he's going to run it by the UFC soon.
Very cool. Give my best to Ali, too. I like Ali.
For sure, for sure. A
lot of respect. Are you a bourbon drinker?
Scotch. I like some scotch.
All right, well, you gotta try Puncher's Chance Bourbon. It's coming out.
All right, I'm 100%. Puncher's Chance. I'm on it.
All about the underdog, Frankie. And I know you know what it's like to be an underdog. So good there.
I have a podcast with Roger Matthews from the Jersey Shore called Champ and a Tramp. And
give us that again. Sorry, is that your podcast?
Yeah, it's my podcast along Roger Matthews from Jersey Shore fame. And it's called Champ and the Tramp. And we always have a cocktail or two, so we're gonna have to get Puncher's Chance on there next time we have an episode.
Absolutely. Just let me know and I'll make sure you get one. What was I gonna say? That's Jay Wells' ex-husband, is that right?
Yes, Jay Wells' ex-husband, correct. Yep. Yeah, he's a different guy. I've known him for a very long time. You know, our kids are friends, and my wife is friends with Jay Wells, well, his ex-wife. But so we both decided to start a podcast. We've been about 6 months now, you know, have some fun, talk some shit, you know, BS a little bit of everything, you know.
Yeah. You know,
can I say, Bruce, you denied it for years, but you were the biggest closet Jersey Shore fan on the planet.
That's because I used to call Mike the situation, not the situation.
You did.
It was like, what is this guy going to do next, you know? And listen, I grew up in Philly. I used to go down to the Jersey Shore every summer all through my childhood up until 15. I partied, had more fun with the Jersey boys and girls than I can even remember. Yeah.
So you know what it's about.
Yeah, I know what it's all about. I can relate to all that stuff. I mean, we were even brawling at 15, you know, so it's like, it's all good. You know, under the boardwalk. Boom, boom, boom.
That's right.
Whatever it takes.
Exactly.
So, Frankie, you know, you talk about the future, obviously championship, you know, a chance at the championship or championships again, all that's up. At the age you're at now, which is 35, is that correct?
38.
Okay. Just like a nice boom, boom, 38. Okay. Yeah. It's powerful like a weapon.
That's right.
Yeah, Randy Couture, exactly. Yeah. Up close, baby, up close. Let's see. Randy won the championship at 44 or 42, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, he won so many championships.
I know. It's tough to track at that point.
I think Randy at 42, George Foreman was 44 when he won.
Yeah, so Randy won the UFC light heavyweight title at 39. And then I think he won the heavyweight title from Tim Sylvia at 42. Wow.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why you couldn't easily go at this for another 5 or 6 years, barring any issues, if you want
to. Yeah, I feel good. I feel like I'm not slowing down at all. And I'm still having fun. I do feel like I'm still getting better. I'm still improving. So, you know, as long as I can keep improving, keep things fresh, I'll do it till the wheels fall off.
I've got one question. Obviously, Frankie, you want to go for a title. But if there is any one fighter that, you know, is either still active in the UFC or maybe even recently retired, is there one sort of super fight that you would like to go after and have? Because I'm sorry, obviously you want to fight for a title, but I would love to see you fight Uriah Faber at 135.
Yeah, I mean, if you're right, you know, we fought obviously 5-6 years ago. If you want to run that back, that could be a possibility. Another guy that's a little older and a legend himself is Dominic Cruz. A lot of here, see a lot of people talking about that. So, you know, I'm definitely interested in those fights. You know, the title is obviously what my main goal and where my sights on, but you know, it doesn't have to be right away. And I'm willing to fight, you know, some of those legacy fights as well. You know,
I think the Faber fight at 35 would be fun, and I'd also like to see an Aldo rematch at 35. But maybe I'm just maybe I'm just old school like that. I don't know.
I'd like to see that too. But you know, you talk about Dominic Cruz. You know, he's around the octagon, dancing around the octagon, got a great style about himself. Your center moving forward, getting in. Do you draw a guy like Dominic in, or do you chase him?
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be tough. I think you have to kind of combine a little bit of both of them. because he gets chasing. He's really good at that, and you don't want him chasing you either. So I think you got to mix it up and try to little cat and mouse game with him.
Yeah, they're definitely a fan favorite. I would love to see that fight, no question.
Okay, so we'll Frankie, see all of them. Pay him all the money. Yeah. We'll see all of them.
So, yeah, I'm in.
Hey, I think Sean Shelby's probably glued to the show right now. So, Sean, make it happen. Come on.
Let's go. Seriously.
But as in the great words of Malkovich in Rounders, pay the man his money, okay? Pay the man his money. I want to see all you guys make $1 million just for stepping in there, period.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, we're working our way there, that's for sure.
That's what I want to hear, Frankie. Take care of that family, man. You worked hard. You deserve to have everything you need to last the rest of your life. So, Frankie, give it to us, a podcast. So let us know where we can get a hold of you on Instagram, Twitter. Let the fans know how to get a hold of you. We have fans all over the world watching.
Yeah, Frankie Edgar on Instagram, Twitter. I have a Facebook. I really don't run it, but someone does. And then, Champ and the Tramp, we just released an episode. I'm recapping my fight, my thoughts on my fight, what I want to do in the future and whatnot. So that's about it. Hit me up and send me a message.
Awesome. Awesome. Frankie, it's great to have you on the show. TJ, anything more for Frankie?
No, man. I just, happy to have Frankie on the program. I think it's been a little while since we've had him. And it's great to see you in this prime form, Frankie. I can't wait to see you back in the octagon.
Guys, thanks so much. Always a pleasure talking to you. Bruce, TJ, have a good week.
Thanks, Frankie. Sir. You look great. You sound great. You are great. Stay great. Okay?
Thank you, brother. You too, man.
All right. Stay safe, my brother. Cheers. All right. We're back, and we're back because we had the answer, and his name is Frankie Edgar. You know, TJ, there's so many fine human beings that are fighters, male and female, in mixed martial arts in the UFC, and Frankie's one of my favorites of all time. You know, he's humble, intelligent, completely
truly one of the goats, talented. Bruce. One like of the that, goats. That term is thrown around a lot, but I'm sorry, you can't deny the fact that Frankie Edgar has a significant place in mixed martial arts' history.
No question. It's a pleasure to have him on the show. Just good old, solid, honest, direct interview. All right, listen, let's get into some news. No sooner does the COVID thing still raging all over the place, but California, you know, it's like constantly getting punched in the face. 1.2 million plus acres have burned now, and these fires ravaging California.
Yeah.
But there's a story surrounding this, aside from all the tragedy and the things that happen when fires happen, loss of homes, wildlife, all the obvious tragic situations that are taking place. Some asshole, right? A California firefighter is out there fighting a fire, right? And some asshole goes in his truck and steals his wallet, right? Just to go.
Bruce, not to coin a pun here, but like if there's karma, that is playing with fire and that dude's going to get burned. Honestly.
I hope so. You know what he did? He drained his bank account. Seriously.
Okay, I don't care if you're a spiritual person or whatever, but like you hope there's a special place in hell for someone like that. Seriously.
Yeah. I think a special place behind a building with a baseball bat.
have you seen the sun go down at night and the moon rise the way that the fires have had? I mean, it's beautiful, but it's a very sad, beautiful reminder of what's going on and what these men and women are doing fighting this blaze.
Well, this gets back to my situation where I've mentioned before, you know, I've been through so many brush fires in Malibu, big ones, huge ones. And it's a combination of fear, fright, and fascination, you know? It's almost like amazing
fire?
To watch a fire. The fire, yeah. There's something about it that's just absolutely fascinating, as fearful and horrific as it is.
I mean,
and, that's what you're talking about when you say that.
It's one of the great natural disasters, fire. I mean, obviously, it's a key to life, but it's a way that the earth at times cleanses itself. And it's horrible to see men and women lose their homes and families get displaced. And to hear this situation where a guy breaks into a firefighter's truck. I mean, that firefighter is out there for you, man. Like, he's out there for you. He's benefiting you. Why would you do that? I mean, I assume everything works out in the end. I assume the bank will take care of it, but it's terrible.
Yeah. These men and women are gods in my mind. I've said that to you many, many times.
Yeah. I mean, I feel when you see a firefighter, you should go up there and thank them for their service just as you would any soldier in the world, honestly.
Totally. Absolutely. No question. Frontline warriors, without question. Yep.
Especially in COVID era, you know what I mean? Like, it's dangerous out there.
Well, speaking of COVID era, we got a couple COVID stories. I'm not going to get too crazy on it. We all know what's going on.
Hey, the foremost MMA authority on COVID-19, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. I'll give you an example of my safety and protocol. My friend Tarek, who's been on the show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Flipper Flop Tarek.
My son's future employer.
There you go. So he's got a beautiful like 80, 90 foot boat down in his house. We went to Catalina on it years ago. So last night we planned this for 3 weeks, you know, get together, myself and a friend, him and his fiance just got engaged to be married. Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful.
She was on the show, if you remember.
Yeah, Heather. She's awesome. She's awesome. My other friend, Robert Drank, and whoever he was going to bring at the time. So anyway, there's like six or eight people. Honestly, TJ, I gave it a lot of thought because Robert's been flying back and forth to Arizona. He just got his pilot's license. Tarek's been all over in Mexico. They've been around. Mm-hmm. And I'm so conscious of safety and protocol. I wanted to go there so much. And we were going to head down. And I canceled.
I understand. I completely get it. I mean, so if people are watching, and I'm sure I sound completely different, but I'm in Mexico right now. Got the call last minute to come down and call some boxing for a Fight Pass on the Roy Jones Jr. shows. And I mean, we followed all the safety protocol. I've been tested, but it is definitely something different. You know this, traveling internationally during this time. Like traveling domestically, it's still weird, but traveling internationally, I mean, I've been tested, I'm clean, but it's still a bit disconcerting. And when I go home, I will make sure I go through another battery of tests before I even see my family.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do too. You know, I'm basically getting tested every single week. But you know what? No matter how we get tested, what did you do 5 minutes after the test?
100%. And that's why, especially with Invicta, when you get tested, when you arrive, it's just like the UFC, you are quarantined, you are isolated, and you do not leave your room until you get the results. Because honestly, Bruce, if I go get tested and then I don't immediately isolate, what's the point of doing the freaking test?
Exactly. Well, I'll give you an example how, you know, we talk about, oh, I won't get sick, or, you know, you hear people say this, I won't get sick, I'm not worried.
You don't know if you're sick. That's the thing too. You don't know.
That's what my friends on the boat, they're saying, oh, we feel great. We take our temperature every day.
Doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. It's not good.
I mean, you can be asymptomatic and never show a single sign.
Well, here, Jamaica is not a hotbed. They've had about 195 cases, okay? Right. You should bolt, right? Mm-hmm. After a massive birthday party, he's got COVID.
Yeah, because that's what happens when a lot of people around, you know, like, I mean, I hate to say it. This isn't a giant mystery, Bruce. This isn't a hard problem to solve. It's just hard to enact and get people to go along, because I promise if we really lock down hard, it would just take care of itself.
As it has in other countries who have proven that. We're all talking about leadership. We won't get on the subject. If you're way informed, you'll understand exactly what I meant by those five words.
So yeah.
Here's another example. You know, people are getting together for parties, this, that, and the other in other countries. There was a situation in a Peru nightclub. They were operating illegally. Okay. And a wild stampede occurred when the police came into the scene to break it all up. Mm-hmm. 13 people died in the stampede.
Not what?
COVID. Yeah, they were there
from human beings stepping on one. Oh man, that is so tragic and sad.
They were crushed in the stairwell area. It was only one exit.
What was the punishment going to be?
Well, here, get this. There was only 120 people. 120 people panicked and tried escaping through a single exit, and 13 of them died. How crazy is that?
What was the penalty going to be? Like, if they got caught, like, people died for you to probably avoid a ticket?
It's Peru. I have no idea. I don't even want to make a joke because you can't joke about something like this. I have no idea. It's just tragic.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's more repercussions than you and I know. And for the betterment of their safety, they should have. I don't know. But my God, that is horribly tragic.
It's horrid. It's horrid. It's horrid. And I know we have to cover some tragic stories, but I'm not going to go on too. I think I'm good and not too many more.
Hey, I mean, you know what? You got to tell it like it is. You got to have the news.
So. Yeah, news is news. Well, Kentucky Fried Chicken's in the news. And what is the famous saying for Kentucky Fried Chicken? Finger licking good. Right?
Oh, yeah. Finger licking good. 13 original herbs and spices or something.
Done.
What do you mean
because
done?
Because of COVID. There's no more finger licking good has been suspended. There will be no finger licking good sayings in Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore.
Okay. I thought you were telling me that Kentucky Fried Chicken was done. And if that was the case, I'm going to have to leave the camera so I can shed a tear.
No, I know. Well, they say 70% of restaurants tragically will probably close in the next year because of the economic situation. And I don't know how that extends into chains, but it's,
we talked about that last week. Yeah. And yeah. I've seen that, Bruce. I've seen some, especially the mom and pop shops, they have a for lease sign and they're gone. I mean, in Southern California, we are blessed to have a lot of family owned restaurants. Right. On the other side of this, I have no idea how many of those are going to still be there.
I don't have any idea either. Another thing has changed, not because of COVID, but a famous ski resort called Squaw Valley. They are now changing the name. They're changing the name because it's considered racial and sexist.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. Squaw is a Native American word.
Yeah, you know, you refer to female Native Americans. It's, you know, that's been termed in movies and stuff like that. Look, are they changing the Redskins and the Washington Redskins? Are they changing the name?
It's a process. And one that I would think is fairly easy, but apparently it's not. I mean, you would know better than anybody with licensing and trademarks and things like that. Yeah. What I have heard is the hardest part for the Redskins to change the name is to find one that isn't already owned, trademarked and copywritten in the sporting space. And it's pretty crazy. So like, I'm a fan of the University of Iowa Hawkeye football team. They're the Hawkeyes. The Seattle Seahawks have trademarked or tried to trademark the term Go Hawks and have sent cease and desist to places like Iowa because they say Go Hawks because Go Hawkeyes. Never mind the Atlanta basketball team that are called the Hawks. They're also not allowed to say Go Hawks. And I think that's the issue that Washington is running into when trying to find an alternative choice for a name is just making sure that you're not going to get sued on the other side.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. So here's an interesting story. I always love how they can dig up a fossil and figure out if it's a dinosaur or whatever.
Right. So, they dig you up every UFC event, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm kidding, Bruce. I'm
kidding. That's okay. It's going to happen sooner or later. 13 million year old bite marks on a fossil.
13 million years?
13 million year old bite marks.
Okay. Wow.
How they determine that? They found that it has the strongest bite ever in history. Okay. Next to a saltwater crocodile, which has a bite force of 1.6 tons.
So is this a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
No, it's actually a crocodile. It's a prehistoric.
It's a crocodile. Wow.
Yeah, it bit through a ground sloth's leg, and they were able to measure what it was. They figure it's 33 feet in length, right?
Oh my
but
God.
They believe this was a young one that was about 13 feet, right? And it just lunged out of the swamp and attacked the lower hind leg of this sloth. And now, let me see. They measured it. 1.6 million was the most powerful bite before. And according to the story, it's like 2.6.
Wow.
A bite force of like 2.6 tons.
As a human being, you can't even comprehend that type of pressure. You can't.
Well, I'll give you an example. A German Shepherd has one of the strongest bites of a dog.
Yeah.
It's 500 pounds per square inch.
500 pounds.
If I'm not mistaken, 500 pounds or however they term that.
Right. No, yeah, again, sure.
That's fine. To correct me, email the show, but I'm going by memory. But again,
500 pounds compared to 2 tons. Oh my God.
That's crazy. But it just blows me away how they can do that. These people are so talented. All right. Huge cheers goes out to my favorite James Bond, Sean Connery, turned 90 years old yesterday.
I thought you were your favorite James Bond.
No, James Bond.
You're my favorite James Bond.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Sean Connery back here and Dr. No, he'll appreciate it too. But yeah, I'm a big James Bond fan. Always have been. That made no
it's bones because about you that. Are James Bond.
In some people's minds. Maybe a
month. You when you get that car going, you're James Bond. Come on now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The car will be going. Trust me.
Oh my God. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait.
2 months. Just got word.
That's so cool.
Yeah, they're putting it together now. Okay, I want to honor a hero.
Okay.
An 18-year-old woman, 18-year-old girl. Pardon me, my stories are a little delayed here.
You're good.
An 18-year-old girl jumped in the water to save. That
didn't work. Oh, this is, you're building the suspense. This is like
I am.
The payoff at a film. I mean, Bruce, I'm locked in my hotel room for 2 days until I get to go to the boxing matches.
Are you
so,
in quarantine for 2 days?
Yeah, you have to be, right? Yeah, that's what we're doing. Hours. So we've done two shows. I did a show last night, so now I'm here until tomorrow again. So,
oh, I got it. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
But no, this is the, like, I don't speak Spanish, Bruce. I can't watch TV. The internet, I don't know how we're doing this show as well as we are. My Netflix doesn't work. So buffer storytelling is the highlight of my quarantine experience thus far. Keep going. Tell me a story.
I'll try and entertain you more then. All right. Minnesota police. We're talking about the fact an 18-year-old named Raina Lynn Neeland. She carried several children to safety who were near a dam that were about to drown. She carries several children who've been swimming in the river near the Clearwater Dam. Okay.
Okay.
An 8-year-old girl was pulled out and resuscitated after she got her back. Basically what happened is she didn't make it.
She no. Drowned.
Yeah. 18 years old. I mean, that's a hero.
That's horrible.
I know. A GoFundMe campaign has been shared by the sheriff's office for her family and stuff. It's just horrible.
That's terribly sad. You said Minnesota, right?
It was in Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota Dam. Do you know where the Clearwater Dam is?
I mean, there are probably 17 Clearwater lakes. We have over 11,000 lakes in the state of Minnesota. And they all have, like, I'm not kidding you, there's like 24 lakes named Round Lake. Like, you couldn't come up with a better name, guys. Round Lake. And we had to do it 24 times, but I'll have to do some research and figure out where that is. Maybe we can actually get somebody from her family on the air.
You can check. I just want to honor this girl. It's just, is a hero. Sure. She is a hero.
100%.
Whatever. Just jumping in and trying to save somebody, you're a hero, you know?
I can't swim very well. I know you were a lifeguard back in the day. Can you still swim pretty well?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're a surfer, so I would assume.
I'm definitely not as strong a swimmer as I used to be, but a definitely. Right. Yeah. No, I'm very adept swimmer. That's been my favorite sport.
You could put on those red trunks and go save some lives, I bet, Bruce.
Put on the red trunks. How's that?
There you go.
I would say, listen, I'd be the first one to jump in if I saw something happen. I know myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a story that's tragic, and I hope it doesn't turn out to stay tragic. You know, I always say doctors practice. They're not gods, but they need to be respected. They practice. Right. They're brilliant. They do what they do.
They're service members of our community.
A young woman was declared dead, okay? 20 years old. Her identity has not been made public.
Okay.
Okay. The paramedics told her mother on the scene that her daughter had died. She was transported to a Detroit funeral home after that.
Okay.
Then her stunned mother asked, when the funeral home contacted her hours after she'd been told her daughter had died, that her daughter was breathing. Their daughter was still alive. Her daughter was still alive.
How?
They don't know yet. And there's not a guarantee that she's going to make it. She was found unresponsive and not breathing in the family home. The paramedics did CPR.
How long did it take for them to transfer her and stuff like that? Like, that's not, I mean, if she was going to be found alive, you would assume that entire process is probably quick, because the longer she goes unattended to, you would think that the worse off she could be. Like, that's a pretty big oversight, Bruce. I don't know.
They attended to her for 30 minutes.
What? You see, that's what I'm saying. Like, what? Come on now. Like, what? You take one pulse and she's gone.
Well, right now, it's not guaranteed that the young girl will live, but it's just amazing that could happen. I mean, you think you hear something and you wouldn't hear anything like it again, and boom, here it is again.
I want to find the positives in this story, Bruce, but if my loved one was fighting for their life and you pronounced them dead, and then we find out that there's still a chance that they may be alive, how can I not feel wronged, like you didn't do right by them, that you maybe put them at a disadvantage of trying to get through this? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to say lawsuit, but my God, Bruce, like, how do you miss that?
I know. It's crazy. Well, let's just hope for the best. And I hope that she lives and she's healthy as a result. You know, my wishes and heartfelt condolences, not condolences, heartfelt wishes for everything to work.
Our thoughts are with you.
Her family. Thoughts are with her. Exactly. Here's a really crazy story. You know, you read about people winning the lottery, and what do? They lose their millions of dollars. That's one thing. They lost it themselves.
Right.
A New York man who calls himself the lottery lawyer and three of his associates, they've been charged with defrauding lottery winners out of $107 million. right?
Explain what happens. What do they
basically,
do?
Basically, they have a website that was urging lottery winners to call them, telling them they could secure their wealth for generations,
right?
Prosecutors say that Curlin encouraged his clients to invest in entities controlled by his co-defendants, the other three people that were arrested. Kirkland received kickbacks in return, and the four men who were given the money from the lottery winners used investments to keep their scheme going and to enrich themselves, basically kept the money. So they've all been arrested on 21 counts. I hope they get thrown away and locked away for God knows how long. And basically, they just stole $107 million.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, there's literally a show. I think it's on, I don't know what channel it's on. Maybe Travel Channel. That doesn't make sense, but that's the one that comes to mind. Where it's literally like, I think it's called like How the Lottery Ruined My Life, or How Winning the Lottery Ruined My Life. And my belief is this: you're not lucky in anything in life. You're given opportunity. And right. When you win the lottery, you have been given an opportunity to live a life that you never thought possible. And unfortunately, a lot of people get that opportunity and it's just too much and their life goes down a terrible path.
I know, it's crazy. Are you familiar with TikTok?
Yeah. Yeah. Just downloaded it the other day. No, my son watches videos, but he doesn't care if it's TikTok or YouTube or whatever.
Gotcha. Well, you know, my boy Rupert, he puts his videos on TikTok and he's got a few thousand followers. He even got like,
that's great,
on Instagram. It's great. And he just puts he plays Fortnite. He puts his Fortnite videos up, and now sure. He wants to do a video with me. And I've been working with him because he loves to bake. He loves to cook. I go, why don't you, I mean, there's this one guy we talked about, I think 11 years old the other week, has a cooking show that's making like $1 million a year. You know,
that's crazy. That's awesome. I think, you know, the barrier for entry into the public spotlight has basically gone by the wayside, which has allowed, you know, honest, true talent to rise to the top. But this is also, I think, an opportunity for some people to be very successful. And for others, unfortunately, they're going to kind of destroy their own lives.
Well, let's hope not, definitely. But, you know, the money that TikTok people make, or these, you know, the stars of TikTok,
yeah,
as we can say, like Charlie D'Amelio. I don't even recognize these names. Addison Rae.
How do you make money off of TikTok?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Are there ads on it?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
I don't think there are. You know better than anybody. You get in that public light, and then it just creates appearances and other things like that. So it's like,
just from TikTok alone. I'll just give you an example. Okay. With all respect to the names, we're not familiar with them.
Sure.
And that's the beauty of the story, is like, wow. So a creator who topped the list brought in $5 million last year, and they've been on the app in less than a year, right? Michael and Lee and Spencer X, they placed sixth place on the Forbes list for TikTok, bringing in $1.2 million. Josh Risher is another one. An 18-year-old, Lauren Gray, $2.4 million. 19-year-old. Sharing dancing videos and funny snippets of her life, collaborating with her sister named Dixie D'Amelio, $2.9 million.
So what you're saying is they all have enough money to pay you to appear on their TikTok channel.
Well, that's what I got to get Rupert to make some money so he can pay me.
There you go. See, always angling.
Here's a 16-year-old. She's the most followed person on TikTok with 80 million fans since last
80
summer.
Million.
80 million since joining in 2019. She has dance moves. She's branched out into voice acting, some merchandise, and just became the face of a company called Hollister with her older sister. Sure. $4 million, 16 years old. $4 million.
All right. We need to get that same sort of following right now.
I'm telling you this because of your son. Come on. It's time to pimp him out. TikTok.
Hey, you know, whatever needs to be done to create an opportunity to either live a life of our dreams or apparently destroy it. We'll figure it out.
I thought we were living a life of our dreams.
Hey, you know what? Nightmares are dreams too, Bruce. Just saying.
Hey, you're in Mexico. You're working. You got a nice hotel. You're quarantined. You can't talk to anybody. You're living the dream, baby. You're living the dream.
Hey, you know what? I still got Bruce Buffer to get on a call with me for 45 minutes. So life is not too bad.
There you go. All right, this whole COVID situation and everything we've been talking about, I'm going to talk some collectibles here. The hottest collectible right now are basketball cards. And obviously, the Jordan special did that too. LeBron James rookie card selling for $1.8 million.
Well, it's funny you say that, Bruce, because have you seen the NBA television ratings? Hot. They're terrible. the terrible right now. Yeah, the playoffs for basketball are not doing very well. So while The Last Dance, I think, has created a buzz and an interest in collectibles and things like that, the modern day product, no one seems to really care about for whatever reason.
I, with all respect, I don't, because I'm about supply and demand. You know, I like the old cars pre-1975, except for what we talked about, Michael Jordan,
right.
Your 86 through 89 rookie cars that are out there. They're still worth going. But, you know, it's amazing. The prices here, like, for instance, just in April, I'll give you an example on a modern day card. Pardon me. Okay. Here it goes. And I don't even recognize Oklahoma State's Shia Julius Alexander. Does that ring a bell?
Nope.
All right. Well, his car was selling, basically standard cars in this set were selling for $114 on eBay on April 29th. On August 7th, now they're selling for $400. Okay, that might not sound like a lot. $400 is a lot of money, but that's
a lot of money.
300%+ growth.
Yeah.
In a collectible card.
Wow.
I know. So it's something to pay attention to. It really
is. Is he on TikTok?
I don't know. But now I'm going to blow you away. Mike Trout, the baseball player.
Sure. The Los Angeles Angel of Anaheim.
Exactly. His car just broke the all-time record. I'm always saying this broke the all-time record. Now his car broke the all-time record. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. 2009 Bowman Chrome Draft Prospect Super Factor cards. Yeah, I keep track of this.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the growth?
It was sold, let's see here. It was sold for $922,500.
One card?
Give me a second here. It's 10. No, you're going to be blown away when I tell you this. Okay. The opening bid when the auction opened on July 28th for this card that had already sold for $922,000, give or take, was $1 million. How much did it sell for, TJ?
I don't know. It's already about 900,000 more than any card should be sold for. So I don't know. 1.5?
$3.93 million.
A Mike Trout baseball card?
A Mike Trout rookie card.
You can pay Mike Trout to like come over to your house for that amount of money.
I would think so, but yeah. That amazing?
Wow. I got to get back into cards, Bruce. I swear. I mean, they're doing it right again. So it's like, it might be fun. I don't know.
Well, somebody out there's got a lot of money, and a lot of people do have a lot of money. And
I just have a lot of cardboard from the mid 90s.
A lot of people do, including yours truly. But I will tell you, not from the 90s, but I will tell you that, you know, here's the thing. When you have a card made of you, at least this is what I do, when Topps, which is made about 12 or 13 cards, whatever, I can't keep count, with all the, you know, thanks in the world. My gosh, baseball cards yourself. We dream about that as a kid.
Right.
I'd be happy with one. I'm happy they made all they made, and some others, Upper Deck, has made cards of me too, which is really cool. They always give you samples. I always get a sample. Now, even though there's 25 of these cards, I would have said, hey, send me one of those cards.
If right.
I was Mike Trout. I wonder if he's got one of his own rookie cards.
I'm guessing he
does.
Not
that he needs the money. I just wonder if he got one of his own rookie cards.
I mean, the smart guess would probably be, I mean, if I had a baseball rookie card of myself, yeah, I'm going to own one of all of them made. You know what I mean? So I bet you he's got one tucked away.
I would hope so. Now, here's something very interesting. I told you about basketball. We all know Kobe Bryant. His collectibles are going through the roof since his tragic, tragic passing. So an autograph piece of the floor, okay, right, which is a unique connectable from his last farewell game where he scored 60 points.
Wow. Right?
It's truly a one of a kind. Let me see how big this piece is. It's being sold by Heritage Auctions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just, how much do you think that's going to go for?
Oh, I mean, I can't even venture a guess. I mean, to me, that should be higher than a Mike Trout rookie card. I'll say that.
$500,000.
You see, that's crazy to me. That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's going to start. We'll see what it sells for. We'll see what it sells for.
It had better go over that Mike Trout rookie card. I mean, come on now. We're talking about a piece of the floor from the farewell game.
It looks like a big piece, too, that would make a really cool thing in someone's house. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's what I – so one thing that I have collected over the years, and actually you've given me all of them, and I appreciate it, are the UFC cards. And I have a few boxes that are not opened and some that are. And one of my favorite things that I've gotten in these things are the cards with a piece of the octagon canvas cut out inside of it. And now I don't know what they're worth. I don't know if they'll ever be worth – you know, big money or no money at all. But the bottom line is it's a little piece of memorabilia that I own that is mine, that I can claim as mine and point to where it's from. And that is a pretty neat thing.
Well, they are worth money. How much, I can't tell you. You can always go on eBay and just sure. search. But the that's one of the things about these modern day cards. They're taking like jersey pieces or like they take pieces of my shirt or my tie, and they've made some of those cards for me too. But to give you an example, in 2009, I think it was, that the first set of UFC Tops cards came out, you could buy them for around $69 a box.
Yep.
And now I think they're selling for $600 to $700 for the box. The cases obviously are selling for, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 or whatever. So wow. I've got a couple of cases of those, a couple of cases of the second year, because I made sure and bought them. I just put them away. I know they're going to be worth money. So I would tell everybody out there, if you have the early UFC cards or if you have any UFC cards, definitely don't open them. If you can, keep the packs closed. If you do, if you have a cool card there, get it graded, because in 10, 20 years, they're going to be valuable.
Do they still make them? Have they made a run of those
yeah,
in the last couple of years?
They came out last year with a run. I think I had a card in that run too.
Cool.
Yeah, Topps does a great job. They're the classic of all classics, most definitely.
Oh, for sure.
All right, TJ, it's been a real busy week for me. Again, cameos coming in like crazy. I hope you're doing well. Everybody, come on. Let me just pitch it out here. Last time I did this, you got a couple orders. You can order a cameo from TJ DeSantis. Please go to Cameo. Check out TJ DeSantis. Get one from him. Get one from me. You can get one from Herb Dean. You can get one from John Anik. So go ahead. Check out Cameo. They're all right there, folks. All right there. There's your pitch. Let's see if you get a couple.
Yeah, I mean, I want to do the oddball ones. Like, I want to read your daily horoscope. I don't want to just say, hi, I'm TJ. What's up? Happy birthday. I want to do weird things.
I've gotten some very fun, weird requests. I've only had to turn down a couple that were a little too weird. But in the whole, they're all pretty cool and they're a lot of fun. So we see the two. I don't even want to go into
it. I can't even imagine what the ones were that you turned down.
Don't even want to mention it.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't even want to talk about it. But the other order's coming into my site at brucebuffer.com. For your championship audio and video intros, keep those flying in, folks. We've been very busy doing them. Again, thank you for your beautiful thank you notes. And pay it forward. Just make everybody happy. Partial proceeds, Animal Military Children Charities, as I always say. All right, TJ, that's it for me. I'm got to go to Vegas this week, and we do have a show this week. I'm in the Octagon. Very excited about that. This show is actually pretty off the hook. I mean, let me get this down. Where did I put it? Right here. All right, Anthony Smith and Alexander Rakic on the main card. That's
I'm excited about the co-main event. Bruce.
Robbie Lawler and Neil Magny. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Give it to me. Like, that is a fantastic fight. You know, there are some concerns about where Robbie Lawler is at. He hasn't looked the best in some of his most recent performances. But if we see Robbie Lawler, you know, kind of tap into that vintage form against someone like Neil Magny, that could steal the show, honestly.
No question. And I think the first card on the main card, which will be on ESPN Plus, the undercard will be on ESPN, folks, but the main card's on ESPN Plus. A fight that has been rematched due to a certain situation that occurred. And it's always interesting when Ion Cutelaba is in the octagon. I always tell the referees, I tell the commission that he's going to walk across. I don't know when. I will take care of it, as I've done on three different occasions, literally having to get in his face to push him back or separate.
This time?
I missed the last time. He waited longer. He had it timed.
I know.
He climbed up to me afterwards. He's a great guy.
He had some strategy involved there, Buff.
He had strategy involved. He got around me. But again, I'll have a special eye out for this one. I'm sure he's not going to make the same mistake he made last time.
Hey. Social distancing now. He shouldn't be able to get past you. He shouldn't be able to get near you.
I know. A couple of fists have come out quick that I've reacted to, and I've definitely run and done my Purell or washed my hands afterwards, but I am still throwing the elbows. But Magomed Ankalaev and Ian Kudalaba are going at it in the light heavyweight bout in the first card of the main event. Guys, don't miss that first fight.
I mean, what else are you going to do, guys? You're sitting at home. You got nothing to do. Come on now. Fight one to the main event. You never know what you're going to get in mixed martial arts, and that's why it's the greatest sport on the planet.
No question. And again, Alex Caceres back for the 148th time in 6 months. He'll be back. And there we go.
Yeah.
That's it.
If people are watching this on Thursday, you can tune into Roy Jones Jr. Boxing tonight on UFC Fight Pass. We got an exciting card coming your way from Mexico. We had a fight show on Tuesday. Really, really great main event. You know, Bruce, I'm not the biggest boxing guy in the world, but I'm a fan of fights. And a fight is a fight. And You saw an 18-year-old named Luis Torres take on a 21-year-old in Jose Vasquez. And these two Mexican warriors put on a show. There was nobody in the building, Bruce. It was one of the more visceral things. I mean, you know from MMA, the shots that you hear when there's not a crowd, it is almost magnified with boxing because the gloves are so much bigger. And I just had a blast. And people can check that out on demand. But tonight, if they want to check it out live, I believe we start at 7:30 Pacific.
Latino boxers moving forward, I have yet to see a Latino boxer not bring it. You know?
Yeah. And this is the first time that a lot of these boxers have been able to get back to work, and you know, the opening reopening process down here in San Carlos is the first step. This is where you know, you guys were in Jacksonville not too long ago, and the emotion that is on display when these young men step into the ring, it's unlike many things that I've experienced in combat sports. And, you know, we've both been around for a very long time. And when you see something new in this space, it's truly great to be a part of it. And I'm excited to do it again here on Thursday.
It's pretty incredible. I had to check, and congratulations. I'm really happy to see you working that. I think it's great that you're down there.
Thanks.
And I love the fact that you're in the pugilistic sports of MMA and boxing. You know, you're separating both because that just creates a future.
Right, yeah. I mean, I called a Roy Jones Jr. fight, not just a boxing card. Like, I called Roy Jones Jr.'s last boxing match.
Who the hell's going to call Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson? Calling that?
I don't know. I'm here. I'm ready
to
go.
You put your bid in? You make
it down? I have a passport. We'll travel. Let's go.
Where is it?
It was supposed to be in California, but I don't know what's happening. It's got pushed back, so.
November. Put your name in there, buddy. Put your
Fight
name
Island.
In there.
Let's go.
All right, on the last note, Elon Musk, the rich get richer. He's worth $96 billion. His stock options now are going to make him a ton more.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that evaluation of people in like Apple, like $2 trillion or whatever. Like,
and the stock is about to split. Yeah. If you own Apple, the stock's going to split.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means, but cool. Cut your Apple in half.
Well, it means if it's worth 300, you get two shares at 150, and then they go up to 300, and you make a lot of money in a perfect world.
Perfect.
We're all searching for the perfect world, and right now we're living in an imperfect world, but we all have to do the best we can. TJ, anything to tell our audience for a second?
The bubble's not terrible. I just would like television in English.
Your bubble's okay.
My world's all right. Yeah. No, I got I brought my PlayStation, and I've been knocking people out with Bruce Buffer in the middleweight
division.
Yeah,
baby.
Middleweight. You're pretty damn good kickboxer. Let me just say that.
I wasn't bad.
I'm staying entertained.
Good. I like that. Yeah. Well, listen, if I get bruised up in the face or break my nose, it's your fault.
Hey, you know what? You'll heal. You always heal, like instantly.
Oh. Always.
Can't keep a good man down.
Yeah. Okay, TJ. Have a great week. Everybody follow TJ DeSantis on Instagram at
TJ DeSantis.
TJ DeSantis. Twitter at
TJ DeSantis.
Boom. That's the way. Keep it the same. Keep it real. Keep the brand strong. In my case, too many imposters on Instagram. Instagram at Bruce Buffer UFC. Twitter at Bruce Buffer. And by the way, Puncher's Chance Bourbon is now in about 100 stores in Florida. It'll be in Texas, California, and five other states coming up in next week. And already selling like hotcakes, I'm very happy to say. Very, very happy to say. Really excited about that. So
awesome.
If you get your Puncher's Chance, we'll talk more about it on the show. As time goes on, I'll keep you informed of the website you'll be able to order from. All that will be coming news in the next couple of weeks. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. We love you all internationally. We'll be back next week with another show. I will see you from the Octagon from Vegas at the UFC Apex on Saturday night. And with that being said, set your goals. Write them down. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Practice safety and protocol for COVID-19. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And when you get those goals written down, you set on that path, just be the best you can be. Do the best you can and be just the best performer in life you can be to yourself. If you're happy within yourself, you'll be happy with others. And if you're doing your best, then you're winning. And that's what we're all about on It's Time Radio. It's all about winning. So with that in point, have a great week, everybody. Please stay safe. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see you next week. And don't forget to subscribe to It's Time Radio on YouTube. Okay, we need your subscribers. The more subscribers we get, then we start to give away prizes. And I've got some great prizes. And they might even include UFC trading cards. Okay?
Ooh. I like that tease. That's good.
Signed, sealed, and delivered, my man. When we get up to the point that we need to get to, they'll be flying out. That and a lot of other stuff. All bottom line, the future's bright. Stay bright. Stay happy. Big cheers. No fears. Buffer out.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Safeway. Exciting news. Safeway, Chevron, and Texaco are offering even more savings at the pump. Now through September 8th, shop at Safeway and redeem up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards at participating Chevron and Texaco stations and at Safeway fuel stations. Shop Safeway this week and earn up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards. This is Stephanie from Safeway, and we'll see you soon. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is $1 per gallon in a single fill-up, up to 25 gallons for a limited time. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details in-store or at Safeway.com.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, a safe way for your customers to pay. Whether you're a market seller,
I'll take two tomatoes and a cucumber,
poodle pamperer, piano tuner, or plumber. Signing up to accept touch-free payments for your business is easy. Simply download the PayPal app and display your own unique QR code for your customers to scan. Touch-free QR code payments. No seller fees until 2021. Not applicable to PayPal Here transactions. Other fees may apply. Shop safe with PayPal.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Safeway. Exciting news! Safeway, Chevron, and Texaco are offering even more savings at the pump. Now through September 8th, shop at Safeway and redeem up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards at participating Chevron and Texaco stations and at Safeway fuel stations. Shop Safeway this week and earn up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards. This is Stephanie from Safeway, and we'll see you soon. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is $1 per gallon in a single fill-up, up to 25 gallons for a limited time. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details in-store or at Safeway.com. Hi, this is Stephanie from Safeway. Exciting news! Safeway, Chevron, and Texaco are offering even more savings at the pump. Now through September 8th, shop at Safeway and redeem up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards at participating Chevron and Texaco stations and at Safeway fuel stations. Shop Safeway this week and earn up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards. This is Stephanie from Safeway, and we'll see you soon. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is $1 per gallon in a single fill-up, up to 25 gallons for a limited time. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details in-store or at Safeway.com.